I'm tripping up. That's the news, according to me. Well, how'd you like that show last night? Well, that's right, there wasn't one. there wasn't one. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to cover, I talked a little bit about what I was going to talk about in the afternoon show yesterday morning. Now, if you're confused, I'll draw a chart graph, explain to you the whole timeline. Yesterday morning, I said something about the afternoon show being a, was going to have, how you say, a little more of a spiritual side to it. It's going to be a little bit more about the, I have kind of this theory, based on life experience. And, you know, I'm just going to say, it's not, well, the biggest, just to put it simply, it's all about what's in my cup. And this morning, it's dark hot chocolate. It's good stuff. With a little bit of Cinnabon creamer in it. Yeah, that's right. I said it. That's what I got. So now you know. Now the show is over. So the this is the 100. By the way, this is the 191st episode. So I'm coming up now with coming up rapidly approaching 200 episodes. Never would have thought I'd be there. I figured I would have given up after about three. So usually that's what I do about it. I do about three or four things, then I quit. Because I'm a good quitter. That's one thing I'm really good at, is quitting. I'm thinking about quitting my other job, the one that keeps getting in the way of the show. Actually, it's I have a business, and the work that I do for this other company is actually, it's very frustrating because at the moment I don't make much money there, just because of the whole COVID thing. And it actually is considerably less than I could be making at my business, but it's still taking the same amount of time it was earlier. So it's a very frustrating situation. It's one where I feel like I'm going backwards. I'm not really going backwards. It's more or less just treading water. But I'm treading water in a river where there's a current, and it's taking me downstream, and I'm not making any progress upstream. Unless, you know, the point is to try to go downstream, then I'm making progress. Or if I'm trying to get across the river, you know, now I'm going to end up across the river at a different place. So that's probably a poor analogy, because there's all kinds of, you know, where my brain goes with all that. I could go down a bunny trail now and talk about, you know, boating or some kind of fish. You never know where I'm going to go with that. I could end up going way off the deep end. Get it? They're on the deep end of the river. I don't know. This stuff just comes to me. I know you're asking what kind of medication is this guy on? I don't take any. I just hot chocolate is all I got here with some Cinnabon creamer. I don't know what they put in the creamer. That's a good question. But I digress. So the thing about this, and I by the way, there is another channel coming out from the TNA to Me studios. Only it's not going to be about the news. Actually, it will be kind of about the news. It'll be a weaving, interweaving, as you will, as it were, as it could be. An interweaving of I'm going to call it, I hesitate to use the word conspiracy, but I think I'm going to use the word, I'm going to title it, I think it's going to be entitled Conspiracy Mystery Theater. There's going to be a daily program, just a quick snippet story, if I can do that. I'm not sure if I can or not. It will probably have to be scripted for me to stay within a 10-minute window. So each day is going to be a 10 to 15 minute show, maybe 30 minutes or an hour, possibly 2 hours. The goal is to keep it down to about 15 minutes or less. And it'll be 10 minutes. If I have a sponsor, it'll be a 1 hour show. It'll still be 10 minutes of content, much like many other shows out there. I'll just have a lot of commercials. A lot of bumpers, a lot of commercials, a lot of self-promotion, a lot of clips of the show, and then a little five-minute talk, and then more commercials, bumpers, local news, and then another 5 minutes of the show, and then more commercials, and then the bumper on the way out. That's what I'm planning on doing. So hopefully the thing will be just a little quick snippet on some kind of conspiracy theory. I'm going to dig this. I've been digging up stories and putting and compiling them. So I'm going to read about these little stories, everything from just little mysteries, more mystery stuff than conspiracy stuff. But the whole point is that it's going to be kind of a conspiracy-based thing, kind of a debunking in some ways, or just kind of an unsettled, open-ended mystery of some things that have happened. And that's the plan. And then once a week, possibly on Saturdays, there will be a release of a longer show that will talk about the current news and conspiracy mysteries within the current news cycle and what might be going on behind the scene. Right now, those conspiracies, if you will, and it will have the Saturday, the weekly show will have more of a spiritual context to it, more of an apocalyptic kind of Armageddon, end of the world kind of scenario, revelation kind of thing. And, among other prophetic end time prophecy type stuff. That's the plan. And I might even bring in some of the other, Nostradamus, there's some interesting things that other people have said that have been considered clairvoyance, I guess they call them. Is that what they call them? Seers. People who were, I wouldn't say were necessarily believers, but seemed to have some prognostication ability. And we'll maybe talk about some of that and how it, whether it's real or not, whether it's true. A prophet can speak and his word can come true. It doesn't mean he's a prophet from God. Because there are people who can speak things that are true and they can lead you away from the true God. We'll get into that more. And I've got plenty of examples of that, even in Scripture, of that, as well as some modern day or contemporary type situations. So what we have here this morning is a little bit of I'm going to talk about this morning what I would have talked about last night. There is this, I think there was a book recently by Jonathan Kahn. I think it was called The Harbinger. I think that's who he wrote it. Let me just look, because I hate to give credit to something that's not correct. You know me. I'm all about accuracy. And I just want to be right on this particular one because of that being the case. There we go. All right. Internet's slow again here. I'm at the home studio today, at home. Harbinger. Yeah, Jonathan Kahn. And his, it's interesting, his concept of this, and it's that this idea here's the basics of how I understand it. I may be way off and wrong on this. I don't know. But a harbinger is kind of an event or something that has happened or is happening that has a way of speaking, or it's a picture of something that's happening that God is trying to show us. In other words, it's a picture of something that's of a revelation of this situation. In other words, the more I have studied in Torah, and you get into the stories of Scripture and the children of Israel and the, you know, the Hebrew text and the Hebrew alphabet and all the things that are there, the intricacies and the detail becomes so overwhelming that it almost goes beyond our mind's ability to wrap around it. It literally is. It gets to the point where you realize there are just no coincidences here. There is a planner behind all of this. And it's very reassuring, and it's astounding to me sometimes. It's to the point where it almost goes beyond having to believe. And it's hard to even put this into words that are understandable, but it goes beyond faith. It certainly isn't blind faith anymore. It's the kind of thing that when you see it, you can't unsee it. And when you see the intricate detail of how God has done things in the past, you will realize that He is, you know, I heard when I was growing up as a kid that, you know, God is trying to speak to us more than we're trying to speak to Him. He definitely, you know, He's trying to get through to us more. He's more passionate about speaking to us than we are about speaking to Him or hearing from Him. And his desire to have a relationship with us is much stronger than what ours is towards Him. That makes sense in a kind of a, you know, just a platitude kind of way. But it's the more I learn of Him, the more it makes sense. And it doesn't even scratch the surface. It's almost too trite to say that. I mean, it sounds like a bumper sticker or a t-shirt, and it goes way beyond that. The little details in our lives, things that happen to us, things that happen around us, that may seem inconsequential. There was this happened in a real life situation with me. I was working at a place where this boss, the manager, direct report, whatever you call him now, whatever is the politically correct thing to call somebody who's you're working for, who's in, you know, who tells you what to do and who can fire you. They were on stage, or they're kind of in front of everybody. They were giving a speech in front of everybody, in front of the group. And in the process, they had some notes in their hand, and as they were getting ready to speak, they dropped their notes. Fell to the floor. They picked it back up again. There's just one page, one little, like a 3x5 card. It wasn't like a whole bunch of papers flew, you know, out of their hands. This little piece of paper fell down, picked it up, and continued on. And at that moment, I was reminded of the Harbinger. Now, why I was reminded of that at that moment, I don't know. But there was something being spoken before the group in that moment, as insignificant as it seemed. And it became more clear later on. That person no longer works there. But there's these things of small little, and I'm not going to get into details about what was being said there. I'm not going to go that way because it's not significant here in the what I'm trying to get across to you. But when you read this book called The Harbinger, he alludes to this kind of thing. But I think it goes much further even than what he talks about in the books. And the harbingers happen around us all the time. I know of a guy that's he's a pastor down in Costa Rica, and him and his wife were in a Jeep, like a little truck. They were trying to get across a river. They actually had to go through the river. It was like a road that was kind of awash with water, so they had to drive across this thing. So they get out there, and they're driving across the river, driving through this river water area. And, of course, probably some water got up on the hub, on the distributor or something, or whatever happened there. Thing quit in the middle of it. So they were sitting there kind of going, well, what are we going to do? And his wife said, well, I think God's telling us we're supposed to go swimming. So they just kind of kicked back and went swimming for a while. About 30 minutes later, they get done swimming, enjoying the day. They get back in the truck, it starts up, and they take off and they get out of the river. You know, it's little things like that when we're aware. Now I would have probably gone into, I got to fix this mode. I got to do something to get us out of here. When we pause and hesitate and realize maybe there's something else being said here to us, it's being either being said to us, about us, or about the situation. However you want to, you know, point at that. And it's in those moments that the more we know about who God is, and that's the only way we can really know those kinds of things, is to really be aware of His Word and who He has been in the past. One of the things about the last month, the Jewish month, I think it was Tammuz. I can't remember what the last month was. I don't have my calendar here. The Hebrew month. And what it actually was this, maybe I can go back here and see what it was here. It was, that was the month of, no, that was Liar. I think it was the month before that. Yeah. No, not Nisan. Yes, I'm completely lost here. Adar, maybe. Shivat. Tevet. I think it was Tevet. Yes, it was Tevet. Where you're looking? Well, way up. I'm way behind. Or Tevet. I don't know how they pronounce it. So, it is a month that is spelled forwards the same as it is backwards. Tevet. When you're standing in the middle in the V, the word looks the same going forward as it does backwards. And in this month, it is believed that God is, it's based on this scripture where God says, at some point, I'm not sure where it's at, it's in the Old Testament. He says, you will know me, you will know the future and who I am in the future by looking to the past and knowing who I am in the past. You know, but it's that whole idea of Him being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the midst of that, you're standing in the middle of that whole tension of who he was in the past, who he will be going on in the future, and that's who he is today. And that's in the knowing, in the moment. It's interesting that when this harbinger, when this event takes place, that we are already prepared by knowing who he is. If we know him and the truth of his word, then when these moments, we've hidden those things in our hearts, we've packed those things away, we've renewed our mind with the washing of the water of the word, so that when those things have happened, when we've built ourselves into being a disciple rather than just a believer, it's one thing to be a believer, it's a whole other thing to be a disciple. And I'm pretty pitiful at that. Because the scripture says even the demons believe and tremble. It's not just a matter of believing. It's a matter of laying down your heart before God and being it's a position of servitude. So when these moments happen, that we can hear God's voice more clearly in what's being said, what he's showing us in that harbinger moment. And I would contend that harbinger moments are happening nonstop around us all the time that we're unaware of. I just got a notification that from a calendar event. See things like that. Just it's the timing of certain things. You know, you're in a meeting and something's going on, and there's a phone rings. Or, a baby cries, or someone knocks at the door, or someone, there's just all these things that are going on around us, especially when things happen that are kind of out of the ordinary, or they're unexpected, or that didn't go as planned. It's in those moments when things are being interjected into our lives that or around us that we need to be, I think, aware or cognizant of, okay, God may be trying to get our attention here about something. And what is he really saying? And it's not that he's speaking to us just externally, because we need to be very careful with that. And we can get into all the analysis and the analogy and try to figure God out, which goes completely against the Hebrew way of thinking, that you can't figure God out. Now, if there's any example of this in the world, I would say that it's in a man's relationship with a woman, in a marriage. If, the mystery of who women are, it's you can't ever pin them down to like, okay, I've got you figured out now. What man has ever said, I've got you figured out, and there's no mystery to you anymore. It's impossible, folks. It's the adventure of a lifetime. After 31 years, I can tell you, there's no figuring them out. Now, if my spouse happens to listen to this, but here's the point of that, and that's not a bad thing. That's actually the whole point of it all. And again, if there's ever been a harbinger, there it is, right there. This is man's relationship, not that a spouse is God. That's, please, you don't really know. I learn a lot of things from my relationship with my dog, actually, about who God is, about fear, about different things, about God has taught me a lot about my relationship with him out of my relationship with my dog. I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's, they are a social creature. And it's interesting how sometimes I will see things that is going on with my dog, how he interacts with me, and how sometimes I interact with God. I'm not a dog, but there is a social component to what's going on there. Now, this whole thing about a woman being mysterious and always kind of changing. You can't ever really figure them out. The Greek way of thinking is that we figure people out. We figure out who God is. And it's kind of weird that I get a notification here. Here, this is one of those moments. This is weird that I'm having. I've had two of these things happen now, just while I'm talking about this. Connection request from my iPhone. For some reason, my device wants to connect with this particular. I don't know what's going on there. Now it's gone. So the mystery of a woman, and I think they might say the same thing about men. I don't know. They probably don't. But it's because we're pretty much two dimensional. There they are. You can figure them out. Who cares? Move on. Okay, but a woman is always kind of changing. And I think for the adventure for a man, if they really realize it, is that there's no end to, you can't figure them out. Now you can either, there's one of two things, you can either give up or you can continue to pursue the mystery. And one of those two things are probably going to happen after 30 or 40 years. But so that, having said that, and that's an example, I think, of who God shows us examples of who he is all the time, and creatures around us, and the creation that he's made, the crazy animals that we see, and bugs and birds and fish, microscopic to the macroscopic to the universe. Incredible diversity of creativity that God has is beyond anything that any person on earth has. Now, when you think about that, every person on earth, their creativity was given to them as a gift from God himself. And I think that there's going to be more revelation to that than we understand when we get to the other side. We're going to see that we actually were turned loose to be creative on our own. Our creativity may have been a gift, but it's what we do with that creativity that goes beyond how it inspires us to reflect back to him with that creativity. That I think is part of his experience with us. And I think that's part of why we were created. And why we were created to be creatures that had our own ability to think and reason. So that's, I'm getting deep, deep, deep into this in ways that I wish I could explore deeper into some of these points, but it's very thought-provoking, hopefully, for you as you meditate on these things. So I'm getting back to the Harbinger thing. Now, something recently happened. And I kind of glossed over it in one of my shows, and I didn't gloss over it. I just kind of passed over it. I didn't really dig down very deep in it, and that's what I'm doing, attempting to do today, is to dig down deep into this situation, the thing that happened, because I think it keeps coming up in my memory, and it keeps being rehashed. And I believe it was a direct picture, harbinger, if you will, of the current administration. And the more I have thought about it, and the more I have watched this, and it's, the more it has come up, this particular video clip of an event, the more details that continue to stand out to me. And I don't know what they all mean, by any means, but I just know that there's more and more details that probably mean something. Now, I can speculate, and I can have conjecture about what's happened, and this is where having that relationship with God comes in. Knowing His Word, knowing how He speaks about the situation. And I want to be very deliberate and careful about, I don't want to be flippant about how I interpret what was happening. So I'm just going to say the things that I've noticed that I'm going to point out. And I'll let you hear from God on these things rather than me telling you what God is saying about it. Here's the event. Many of you, most of you probably seen this event because it was posted on the news for days and days afterwards, not on the legacy media necessarily, but on every other newscast and on YouTube and every other place you can post a video. The former Vice President, Joe Biden, I'd rather refer to him as that. Much like I'm going to now forevermore, I will refer to the former failed presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton. I just like saying that. That's the way the news media portrays people when they always label people like that. Former failed presidential candidate, not former Secretary of State, not former First Lady. Former failed presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton. That's how she will always forever be more be referred to on this show. The former Vice President, Joe Biden, he's been doing some things this past week that are absolutely disgusting, and I don't how anybody can feel comfortable. If I'm telling you, Donald Trump would have said some of the things that he said this last week, there would be a wave of impeachment outcry. You would everybody in Hollywood would stand up with self-righteous indignation and just start to lambaste the guy with, you're a disgusting pig, you're a filthy individual. He made some comments about a small girl that I'm sorry, it was inappropriate. It was, again, creepy. What's going on in this guy's head? There's something really wrong with him. That's not normal. That's not normal to look at a girl like that and say those kinds of things. To even think those kinds of things. I digress. This event that happened to the former vice president, as he was working his way up some steps. Most people just look at it as an event where, he tried to make it up the steps, tripped three times, and each time was worse than the last. And then he got up and kind of brushed himself off and went back up the steps and tried to make an exit out of the public view. You have to wonder what was going through his head at that point, probably thinking about somebody, some little girl, probably. I don't know. Maybe he thought he tripped over a little girl. I don't know. There's a lot of details to this story that I think we miss. And when you start to understand that maybe God is speaking to us through an event and through something like that in terms of the nature of political, the political arena, the government, our country. You know, who does he represent? He represents our country. He also represents the presidency. He represents his administration. He represents, you know, the commander-in-chief of the military. A lot of things that he represents. So what is being said here? What is the example? What is trying to get through to us and show us, to reveal to us here? If there is something. If anything I'm saying is even plausible. This whole idea of a harbinger is even legitimate. So Joe goes, he gets ready to go up the steps. He approaches Air Force One. He's getting ready to travel. Think about all these details throughout this whole event, because I'm sure that they all mean something, and because I know my God, and I know He is in the details. Nothing happens by coincidence. Nothing happens without passing through His hands. And sometimes we ask, you know, why God allowed something to happen. Some things are set in motion by things we don't understand, forces we don't understand. And I'm not going to get into all those things. Why do bad things happen to good people, kind of thing. I would argue that there are no good people. I would argue that everyone has been entered into a world that sin has corrupted, and we're living in the consequences of that. What Adam did in the garden, we are still living out the consequences of that. If it could have been reversed immediately, it would have been. We still have to live out the fullness of time. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's not God's will that we have sickness and disease and death in the world. He didn't intend for that, but we do. Denying it doesn't make it untrue, doesn't make it not so. Christian Science theology has crept into the church in ways I can't even begin to understand. I'm just amazed. And there's a small sliver of truth to it, but it is very misleading, and it, in some cases, destroys people's faith. So, I digress. Once again, back to Joe going up the steps. He approaches Air Force One. Now, I don't know some of the details of the story, of the whole story. I don't know where he was coming from as he was approaching Air Force One. I don't know where he had just come from. Every little detail to the story probably means something. The meeting that he probably just came from, whether he was coming from the White House or whether he was going back to Capitol Hill, I can't remember where he was going or I think what he was doing at the time. That's probably significant. As he approaches Air Force One, I believe he nods to, you know, he's acknowledging, whether it's by salute or just nodding, whatever he was doing there, to the military leaders that were there at the bottom of the steps. And as he approaches, you know, the military does their thing. There's a very set way that they receive the president to the aircraft, and then the officer at the bottom of the steps steps in behind the president as he's going up the steps, and he salutes the president as he's heading up the steps. And there's also, I think there's at least a couple of other officers there at the bottom of the steps. He starts going up the steps, and he's trying to, and you can tell right before he goes up them, he kind of almost he takes a breath, and he's like, I'm going to show everybody how fit I am. I'll go running up the steps. And he starts going up the steps. not even sure he was actually holding onto the handrail. He was kind of loosely kind of checking the handrail, I believe. And all of a sudden, he kind of trips a little bit. Now, I think at that moment, he probably just wanted to just, you know, keep the movement going, keep going up the steps, and kind of make nothing of it, so to speak. In the process of doing that, he tripped again. Because he really didn't take the time to stop, catch himself, and get repaced on the steps. He just continued to move up forward as he was tripping. And he kind of tripped again. In his haste to gloss past that, in my opinion, he isn't even able to get up before he trips again and goes down even further, basically all to his knees on the steps. Then he kind of steps up, he finally stops his motion forward, steps up and kind of brushes off his pant leg, does whatever, he kind of shakes his pant leg a little bit, kind of restraightens it, and then starts to walk up the steps again with it at a much slower pace and with both hands out on the rails. Gets to the top, turns around, salutes, and then walks back into the aircraft. Now, I don't know if any of you remember or not, Hillary Clinton at one point, the former failed presidential candidate, she was getting on an airplane during campaign season. And she fell several times throughout the campaign. I don't know if you recall that or not. She was ill with something. She had some kind of sickness going on. Probably a medication reaction. Some of these people are highly medicated. She was getting on this airplane, and as she turned around, she kind of waved to the people. And as she turned around, she looked like she was going to say hello to the person there in the entryway. And she went flat on her face. I mean, she went down hard onto that airplane. And it was face first. Do you think any of those things were maybe a harbinger of what was to come with her career, her political career? The foundation that they have that now is hurting for money? All the people that they were giving to their foundation with the promises of political favors when she got into office. Don't think for a moment that doesn't happen. So that game was being played, and there was a very hard fall involved. Now, Joe, the former vice president, trips up the steps. He was going up the steps into Air Force One. You can look at all these things as representations of something. Tripping three times. All the different aspects of this entire event, I believe God is saying something to us about our situation as a country, about who is in charge of this administration and what's happening. He was halfway up, just over halfway up the steps. I don't know if that's representative of halfway through his term. There's going to be something happen. I don't know if there are three things that are going to trip up his presidency. Now, there's also some things that, happen with the vice president, Harris, that the media is not talking about at all. So we won't know. I mean, I'm saying that I'm sure there's things that are going on, that are missteps and things that are happening there that are being kept out of the limelight, being covered for, because that's the way they do things. There's a really creepy event that happened over the weekend. One of the things that happened is she, you know, she posted on Twitter or something, I think, something about enjoy the long weekend. Nothing about Memorial Day. You see, again, this gets back to these people hate this country. They hate what it stands for. Now, I'm not a big warmonger. However, those who have served are not the ones who made the decisions to go to war. They stepped up to serve the country. What the politicians did with their lives, with those brave young men and women, those are the ones I have issue with. In some cases, they dishonored them anyway by sending them off to a war that should never have happened, by making decisions that shouldn't have been made, by considering them to be expendable. And in some cases, they were willing to give their lives for what they did, for the cause. So, I wonder what it is that is happening, or what God is trying to tell us about what is going to happen. Now, recently, and this can be, you know, God can speak to us through dreams and all kinds of other things, and I even think that some of those things probably have some different types of meanings depending on what, you know, how it happens, and who's to say how God can speak to us or doesn't speak to us. So having said all of that, I think that's going to be the wrap up for this particular episode, the 191st episode. There seems to be a building tension right now. So I'm going to wrap this up. There seems to be a building tension among many people. The BLM movement, for instance, is starting to become, I would say, it's becoming very disheartened. A lot of people are disheartened by it. The approval rating for BLM as an organization, people are starting to realize what the organization is about. And a lot of people who stood up for them at the beginning and went to the streets and argued and went to rallies and answered questions and talked to people, put in the hard work of explaining what was going on. Actually, they were sharing a lot of misinformation, actually disinformation, basically, that they were told. They didn't know it was disinformation, but that's what they were passing on. Because the real numbers don't show what they were saying. But again, they were the ones out there on the front lines. All the money that came in for BLM was not going to help anyone in any communities, any victims of any crimes. And I think that people are starting to, they were disillusioned by what was going on there. And the organization is under a great deal of scrutiny right now by some people. Not everyone. They're still putting the BLM flags up on embassies throughout the world. United States embassies are putting those banners up all over the world. The racist, anti-racist movement makes a lot of money. Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson only scratched the surface of that. BLM has taken it to a whole other level. Now, I had said something about having Morning Joe and his little rant that he had the other day. I was going to talk about that. This afternoon's show, there will be a show this afternoon. I do have an appointment at 3:30 this afternoon to help someone set up some video stuff. So it's probably going to be later on in the day that I work on some of those things. But the why is it that when I jump from one screen to the other, why is that not? There we go. It's a little better. No, that's worse. Let's pull that back down here. There we go. That's better. So I'm sure you're wondering what's going on here. The when I ran my mouse from one screen to the other, it would like jumped like 6 inches. And I forgot what I was talking about. So I'm gonna wrap it up by saying this: the Harbinger issue and how what's happening with our country right now, and the way that things are kind of turning around. Public opinion is turning around. Public opinion is changing on Fosse. It's changing on BLM. It's changing on a lot of things right now. The left has kind of overspent and overextended themselves with their Orange Man Bad campaign. And now we're finding out through the election audit situation that there's more going on than we thought. There's some things that are going to come out of this. So they're about halfway done, just over halfway done with the ballot counting in Arizona. Now they found some anomalies in Pennsylvania in the last runoff, and there was some serious issues, some serious problems. And more people are starting to ask questions about the machines and the cloak and dagger situation with Dominion and Smartmatic. And that's going to continue the more they dig into it. The Wuhan lab now is becoming more and more of an issue, and there's more world pressure against China to explain what happened there. In the process of that, China is preparing. They have made some statements recently that indicate they are preparing for nuclear war. They've made threats to Australia that they will be the first ones that they take out if they get involved in the Taiwan issue. If Australia stands up for Taiwan, now I think China is definitely making plans to make a move on Taiwan. That is that is going to be their Ukraine. They are going to go after it. They still consider it part of their country. They emphatically are saying that. Now, we're talking about the CCP. I still hear some people saying that, oh, the Chinese people are in the Chinese government. This is like the one guy, the wrestler guy, it turns out to be, you know, I'm sure he could probably make mincemeat out of me. He would be in some pain doing so, but I'm sure he could destroy me. He's a big guy. But he was, you know, basically almost in tears apologizing to the Chinese people. I understand. The Chinese government? No, I don't understand that. Because it's a huge market there. A huge market for movies and entertainment. That's why he was apologizing. He was bowing the knee. And this is what happens so often in so many situations. Now, this month is LGBTQ Pride Month. because they get their month, I guess. We can't just be people living. We have to have somebody, everybody has to have the month to be recognized. Because it's a group thing. Because there, here we are with another identity group. And some of the things that are happening right now are just absolutely disgusting. I'm going to try to spend part of this month talking about some of these things. I try to avoid talking about the whole issue of any LGBTQ stuff because there's a reason. Because it, in my opinion, most conversations about it make light of the mental disorder that is happening there. And I'll explain that more as the month goes on. And I'm sure I'll take a lot of flack for that. And that's fine. I'm sure I'll probably lose some listeners over it. I'm sorry to hear that. Sad to hear that. I'm not sorry about it. I'm not going to be sorry about my opinions and what I think to be true. I have a right to my opinion, and I have a right to believe in the truth that I believe in. I'm not advocating going out and destroying anybody. So, and yet that's what happens to anyone who speaks out and says anything against the LGBTQ community. They are threatened. They are called all kinds of, you know, they're bigots, they're racists, they need to be destroyed, they're going to come get you, they're going to destroy your life while you're sitting there peaceably in your own home. Who's the violent one here? Who's the one with the problem here? So, as we push forward throughout the day, later on today, I will have more information. We'll probably start to talk a little bit about this LGBTQ thing. And I'm going to wade into those waters, the subject matter that's there. But I leave you with this quote from Senator Kennedy on the COVID origins. Senator Kennedy, probably the master of one-liners in Congress right now, or Senate, in the Senate right now. Nobody found anything close to a smoking bat. He's referring to where the China virus originated, in the wet market. It's his opinion of the COVID origins at this point. No one has found anything close to a smoking bat. Normally you would say smoking gun. In this case, it's the smoking bat. Only Senator Kennedy comes up with those kind of one-liners, and I appreciate him for that. So having said that, he wins the award today for the best quote of the day, which is not today, but it was the other day, well, whatever day it was. And I appreciate that kind of sense of humor in the face of crazy nuts, the craziness and the crazy nuts that are out there. If you get a chance to listen to Mr. Reagan, he had a good show this morning. It was, it's entitled, Is AOC mentally ill? I think I can't talk the way he does. He's got a way different kind of voice than I do. But it's a good question. Is she mentally ill? He goes over some very basic things that she has said in the past, especially about January 6th and what happened that day. There's something wrong with her. She is mentally ill. She's nuts, folks. A garbage disposal scares this woman. She says things, it's ridiculous. And what scares me more is her fans. Have a great day, everybody. God bless. Take care. Thanks for listening.